Well, it is the weekend before Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving is on a lot of people's mind. And have you ever noticed that sometimes this time of year, we go ahead and we get caught up in a lot of the celebration and the preparation for the celebration, that in some cases, you just almost might get a little anxious and forget what everything is really all about. In preparing some things for the message today, I came across this interesting statistic. And some interesting realities and maybe some tips for us today to think about, that 91% of all Americans are going to go ahead and have turkey for Thanksgiving. That's going to be what they do. So I discovered this, and this might help some of you out. I know maybe I've been in a situation before that it would have helped me out, but just so you know, Butterball has a help hotline, all right? For those of you that might be trying to figure out the turkey situation, they have a help hotline. And here's some things that were actually shared last year on their help hotline. A woman in her 70s called, and she was cooking Thanksgiving dinner for the first time. And she called up because her mother said it was time she learned how to prepare the Thanksgiving meal on her own. Second one is this. A proud gentleman called to share this. He wrapped his turkey in a towel. He laid it on the ground and then stomped on it so the bones would break so it would fit in his pan. Getting a bigger pan evidently never crossed his mind. Carving the turkey. Another gentleman called to tell the operator that he cuts his turkey with a chainsaw, but he was anxious and concerned that maybe the oil from the chain would adversely affect the turkey. And then last, but certainly not least in this, is real question again. Talk line, staffer answers the phone. The caller says, I need some information on how to fix my turkey. The helpline says, well, what state is your turkey in? Meaning, how thawed is it? And the caller responded with, Florida. You know, sometimes when we're in a situation where we don't know what to do, we seek help. And sometimes that help doesn't go ahead and necessarily turn out real good for us. Sometimes we're in a situation and maybe we wonder what we ought to be thankful for. You know, I read a statement this week that a parent said, you know, I'm really thankful for kids who pick up after themselves and for kids who do what you ask them to do. They said the only bad thing about it is you hate to see them leave your house and go home to their parents. Because sometimes we're a little more thankful and we do a little more at someone else's place or with someone else's stuff than we do our own. Sometimes we look at other people and we think, man, they really have every reason to be thankful. And then we look at ourselves and we wonder, what reason do we have to be thankful? We look at somebody else's life and we say, man, they've got it great and they've got all these things going on and they really should be thankful. But we look at our life and we wonder what we have to thank God for. Well, today we're going to take a look at a passage of scripture from 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 deals with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It deals with his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and how can we be assured of our faith in that passage. That's what it's about. But when we get to the close of 1 Corinthians 15, it changes from what Jesus did to what you and I have as a result of what Jesus did when we give our hearts and our lives to Christ. So the Apostle Paul goes ahead and he gives us a phrase that just says, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who has given us a gift, and that gift gives us victory. So today, for just a couple of moments, we're going to be thankful, and we're going to be talking about being thankful for the victory. Because today, maybe you find yourself in a situation, and you would just say, John, honestly, I'm struggling to find what I have to be thankful for. I'm trying to search, I'm trying to put my hands on it, I'm trying to just kind of get my arms around this stage of life that I'm in, and it's really difficult, and I'm wondering what I have to be thankful for. And today, I'm not going to talk about how we can go ahead and be thankful for living in the greatest country on the face of the earth. Well, we've got that to be thankful for. We should know that. I'm not going to talk about just being thankful for our friends or being thankful for our family. As a pastor today, I'm thankful for an incredible church family who has risen to the occasion multiple times over the past several weeks to do some pretty incredible things. We had a trunk or treat event here, and you did an awesome job with that. But we also had another event over at the park that we partner with, and several thousand kids were there. And not only did you give candy for here, but you gave candy for over there as well to take care of several thousand kids at our booth and table that was over there, and we thank you for that. We have a play area that's been installed. It's completed. It's right down this hallway. It's just outside the church building to make it easier and accessible, and you have given above and beyond for that, and for that I am very thankful. Projects are taking place in Kids Connection in that area, in the front hallway. It's gotten started with some of the Awana things that are on the wall, and moms and dads, when you came in and checked your kids in this morning, you were able to see that, and it's just going to continue down, and progress is being made because you are giving in a faithful way, and we are so thankful for that. And this morning before I left the office and came over here and just walked down here, there were more than 300 meals already over there ready to be distributed, and that's from your faithfulness, and I thank you for that. But today, all of those things that I just mentioned that I have to be thankful for and that we have to be thankful for as a church is paling in comparison to what we're going to talk about for just a couple of minutes. Because the things that I just mentioned are things that are great. They're things that have impacted someone's life or are getting ready to impact someone's life. And they're necessary things and they're good things, but what Paul talks about and he camps out on with just a few words are things that will absolutely last forever. So let's just take a quick look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to go ahead and start in verse number 15 and take a look at what Paul has to say. He says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption." He says, look, the things that aren't perfect aren't going to go ahead and they're not going to go to heaven. They're not going to be in the kingdom of God. That is a place for perfection. He says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." We've all had a kid in that condition at some point. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now, I just want to stop there for just a moment. Paul writes, and he says, look, in this life there are some struggles, and in this life there are some inconsistencies, and in this life there's some heartache. But he says there's coming a day when all of that will be changed. And the way it's changed is not by you trying to go ahead and improve your life. It's not by you trying to figure something else out. The way it's changed is through Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's already done. Because Paul is writing about that, and he's going to tell us more about that. We continue on. He says, "For this corruptible," meaning this body right here and your body and his body, "must put on incorruption, this which is flawed," right? One day it's going to be perfect. Think about that. Think about that. For those of you that spend a lot of time exercising, it's temporary. Remember that tomorrow morning at the gym. One day, those of us who have just coasted, we're going to be perfect. "And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, there then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." He says it's going to be no more. And then he tells us this, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades," or grave, "where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." But he says, But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse number 58, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Paul goes ahead and here's what he says. He says, we've got a life that's not perfect. We've got a life that's flawed at best. He says we've got all these corruptible things, all these things that are really centered around kind of decay, destruction. They're coming to a time when they will be no more. And he says, here's the good news. If we know Jesus Christ, if we follow Jesus Christ, if we'll just give our heart and life to him, one day there's going to be a day when all of those things shall be changed. And here's the key. He says, thanks be to God, in the midst of all the uncertainties, in the midst of all the difficulties, in the midst of dealing with life's most difficult moments, he says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes and he gives us this word, and he uses a word for thanks that it's just a word of heartfelt gratitude to God. He says, I want to go ahead and acknowledge God from my heart. I want to go ahead and let God know that I'm grateful and I'm thankful from my heart because he's given me something in Jesus Christ that is not temporary. He says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory. He tells us that we have a gift, and that gift is victory, and it comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I have a gratitude to God from the heart who has given us victory. Complete, total, concrete victory or triumph is what Paul is saying. He says, there's not a chance you can lose. And he says, here's the great thing. It's not something you have to go out and earn. It's not something that you have to try and achieve. Here it is. It's a gift. And Paul says, I'm thankful for that gift. In the midst of talking about death, in the midst of talking about loss, in the midst of talking about heartache, in the changing circumstances of life, Paul says, there's one thing that I can go ahead and I can be thankful for. When everything else around me is falling apart, when everything else seems like a struggle, he says, thanks be to God for this victory. Because the victory that God gives, think about this for just a moment, the victory that God gives is not dependent upon all the other circumstances of your life. So the first thing that we might go ahead and look at today that we can be thankful for in the context of thankful for victory, because we're not talking about winning at a ball game that we've got to go and play. We're not talking about participating in a contest that we win one time and we may have to go back and make an effort for again. We're talking about something that's once and for all. We're talking about something that's eternal. We're talking about something that cannot be taken away. Paul writes and says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory. It's once and for all. It's concrete. It is final. It is ours once we know Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what the people down the street say about us. It doesn't matter what we look at in life and think, wow, this is a big struggle. How can I be thankful in the midst of this? Paul says, no, there's a victory. He says, we can go ahead and be thankful. We can be thankful for the consistency of God. If I'm going to go ahead and look at one thing in my life, if I can look at everything else that might be falling apart, I can go ahead and I can be thankful for God's consistency. Because while people might let me down, while circumstances might change, while I may go through health struggles, while I may go ahead and deal with life's worst moment, as Paul talks about the sting of death, he says the sting of death is removed. In fact, he says death doesn't even have a victory because of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And we can be thankful even in the midst of dealing with life's most difficult circumstance because of God's consistency. Do you notice in those verses he talks about this corruption and this that's not perfect and this that is a struggle? And it's flawed and has problems and it has weakness and it shows up over a period of time and sometimes it just gets worse and then it just leads to further destruction. Paul says all of those things are going to go ahead and be changed. But there's one thing that's going to be consistent, and that's God's consistency. You know, last Sunday we talked about how do we be thankful in difficult times. How can you be thankful in a difficult moment? How can I be thankful in a difficult moment? And one of it is because God is consistent. We pointed that out and Paul brings it out again in Psalm 118. It says, give thanks to the Lord. Why? He is good. His love, his mercy, his grace, it endures forever. Today, as we gather here today, on this weekend before Thanksgiving and we look at our life, some of us would say, John, my life's not perfect. Paul's life wasn't perfect either. Do you know that Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament while a prisoner? There's a truth that we can look at. And he says, in spite of my surroundings, in spite of my circumstances, in spite of the people who are guarding me, in spite of the uncertainties of life, I want to go ahead and I want to give thanks to God for the victory that comes through Jesus Christ, because it is eternal. I want to be thankful for God's consistencies. You see, many times the things that we often give thanks for and the things that we're caught up in are things that are temporary at best. They're things that are going to last for just a moment, and then we're going to forget about them and we're going to move on. And Paul says, in the midst of all these things that we look at right now that are temporary, that are going to be changed, he says, we can be thankful for the victory, and God is able to give us the victory because of God's consistency. God has a consistent love for you that's not changed. God has had a purpose and a plan for you. And God will always have a purpose and a plan for you. Why? Because God is consistent. It's pretty amazing to stop and think, whether we're young in life, whether we're in elementary school or middle school, whether we've just come out of our mother's womb, or whether we're in the twilight years, the fourth quarter of our life, whether we feel like we're living on borrowed time, here's the reality. We begin to look, and God is consistent with every one of us, because that's the way that God is. But in thankful for victory, the Apostle Paul even tells us this aspect, and it's this. He says, we can go ahead and be thankful for freedom. I just want to encourage you to think about that for just a moment. Thankful for freedom. Now, he's not talking about freedom in the nation in which you live. He's not talking about a freedom that our veterans paid a price for. And while we're thankful for that, and while that's an absolute incredible thing, Paul is talking about something that's eternal. He's talking about freedom from sin. He says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 56, he says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what Paul is telling us? Paul is telling us that we have freedom in Jesus. In John chapter 8 and verse number 31, Jesus goes ahead and shares with those around him. He says, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth. And in verse number 32, he says this, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Do you know the reality is this? The more that we realize we have victory in Jesus, the greater the freedom that we have in this life. Paul writes and he says, look, you've got freedom from sin. You've got freedom from the penalty of sin. You've got freedom from the greatest consequence of sin, which is eternal separation from God. That's the penalty of sin. It's death. The consequence of sin is eternal separation from God if that is not taken care of. But he says, look, Jesus Christ went to the cross. He gave his life for us, and he says, I can be thankful for that freedom that is found in Jesus Christ, because he has given me something that is absolutely eternal. He looks at death. He looks at the grave. He looks at eternity apart from God, and he says, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? He says that Jesus has conquered them all. Some of us today are here, and we would love to have some freedom in life. Freedom from guilt. Freedom. Maybe from what others think or what others say, or maybe it's freedom from even what others are doing. Paul writes and he says, look, Jesus Christ gives us forgiveness. That forgiveness gives us freedom. It gives us a freedom that gives us victory. Victory over the things right now. But he says there's something far greater. It gives us victory for all eternity. That's something to be thankful for. There's freedom from that. Freedom not from all the problems of life. Paul doesn't write and say, look, you're never going to have another struggle. There's never going to be another problem. Paul writes and he says, look, in the midst of the struggle and in the midst of the problem, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the hurt, we can go ahead and still be grateful from our heart to God, because even in the midst of that, the victory that Jesus Christ brings is still there. He tells us that we can go ahead and be thankful for that freedom, but he also tells us that we can be thankful for the gift. You see, one of the really amazing things that Paul tells us is that God gave it to us. He said, but thanks be to God who gives us this gift, Jesus Christ. You know, when we look at what Paul writes, he tells us that God gives. You know, we're really never more like God than when we're giving and serving, because that's part of who God is and what God does. But in the midst of this, he says, thanks be to God who gives us victory. He just gives us victory. Okay, this isn't winning by an accident. This isn't going out and winning on your own. This isn't bringing something home where you say, man, I went out and got this. This is a gift. This is victory for all eternity. It's not temporary. It's not something we go out and get. It's something that is given to us. And Paul gives us that truth. But Paul also gave us this truth. He says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Paul's writing about salvation. He's writing about victory of overcoming life's greatest enemy, life's greatest struggle. In 1 Corinthians 15, he says, because of what Jesus did, because of what God gives us, he says, it is a gift. Today, when we look at our life, if we are a Christ follower, we can be thankful for the gift of Jesus. And today, if you're not a Christ follower, if you've never said, I want to follow Jesus, I want him to be my Savior, I'm going to ask him to forgive me of my sins. Do you know that the reality is this? You can be thankful for that gift as well. You can be thankful for that victory, because that victory can be yours and will be yours through Jesus Christ. It's kind of amazing to stop and think that we don't have to go out and earn it. We don't have to go out and do something. We don't have to try and get good enough. We don't have to try and earn it on our own. We just go ahead and we ask and we receive the moment that we believe. Well, when you look at your life, Paul just comes to a place and he says, in the midst of all of the struggles of this life, I can still be thankful to God. And it's thanks be to God for his consistency. Thanks be to God because he's offered freedom. Freedom from our greatest struggle. Freedom from our greatest enemy. And he says, I can go ahead and be thankful because it's a gift. Paul was the worst of the worst. Even though others would have looked at him and said, man, he's a pretty good guy. From a social standpoint, he's doing some good things. Paul says, look, I have nothing on my own. He says, I'm just thankful for this Savior who died for me. This one who gave it all. Today, we might feel like we don't have much to be thankful for. But Paul says, look, I'm thankful for God's consistency. I'm thankful for the freedom that comes in Christ. The freedom from all of the things that can and do change. I know that Jesus is going to remain the same. I'm thankful that it's a gift. But he closes it all out and he wraps it all up and he says, I'm thankful for the opportunity. In that last verse, verse number 58, he writes these words. He says, therefore, because of this gift and because we can be thankful to God, he says, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. He says, be committed, dig your heels in, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. He says, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Do you know what Paul says? Paul says, it's because of the grace of God that I have an opportunity to make my life count. Think about this for just a moment. Paul essentially tells us that if Jesus had not risen, ultimately we wouldn't have a reason to be thankful. And ultimately, what we do with our life wouldn't really matter. Paul says, because he is risen, because he has given us the victory, that how we live our life doesn't have to be in vain. Paul says, I'm thankful for the opportunity to do something with my life for my Savior that will last. So Paul looks at him and he says, look, I don't want you to waste the opportunity. He says, part of me being thankful is seizing the opportunity to live my life for Christ, and I don't want to waste it. He says, I'm thankful that I can go ahead and I can be steadfast. I can be committed. I can go ahead and throw my whole heart and whole life into it and know that it's going to matter because of the victory that Jesus has given me. Think about that. That truth changes everything for you and for me. You see, because of the victory that Jesus gives, I can make my life count and you can make your life count. And Paul didn't put stipulation on it. He didn't say your life can matter if you're smart enough to make it matter. He doesn't say that your life can matter if you'll go ahead and learn a list of things. He says your life matters when we just begin to do what we do and do it for Jesus. He says, I'm thankful for that. Today, as Christ followers, we have so much to be thankful for. And today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you have a reason to be thankful as well. And here they are, because God consistently loves you, and God has consistently offered a plan to go ahead and make salvation available to you. God wants you to have freedom. God has offered the gift of Jesus Christ, and God wants you to seize the opportunity to know Him and to make sure that your life is not wasted, that it's not in vain. Today, I want to challenge you to be thankful for the consistency of God, to be thankful for the freedom, to think about the freedom that you have in Jesus and to embrace that freedom and allow that freedom to make an even greater difference in your life, to be thankful for the gift that comes in Jesus. It's a free gift. We don't earn it. We believe, we receive. And the great thing about that gift is when we receive that gift, it changes our eternity, but it changes our now. We can begin to go ahead and make our life count for Christ. Today, I hope that you'll be thankful for that. Would you bow your heads with me? In just a moment, we're going to stand together and sing a verse, an invitation hymn. But before we do that today, I just want to ask you, are you certain that you know Christ? Are you certain that you have that relationship with Jesus? Today, if you're not certain, I want you to know that God loves you and that God cares for you. And in the moment that we stand together and begin to sing, there'll be someone up here to pray with you, to answer any questions that you might have, if you'd like to know more about Christ, about how to be a follower of Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you would say, John, I know Christ, and quite honestly, I'm struggling with some things to be thankful for, but this was a great reminder. Maybe today you want to come and pray about some of those things. Maybe today you would look and you would say, John, the truth is this, I know Christ, but quite honestly, yeah, I'm thankful for his consistency and I'm thankful for some of those things, but I haven't made a point to demonstrate my thanks by living a life that matters for him. Because ultimately, that's what Paul said in verse number 58. He said, if we're really thankful, and because we have gratitude in our heart, we can live a life that is not wasted. And today, maybe you would just say, you know what, I want to come and I want to pray here around the altar, or maybe right where you are, about a life that is not lived in vain, a life that is used to make a difference. Whatever your need might be, I just encourage you to let God speak to your heart. Would you stand with me, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed? If you know the words, I invite you to sing along. God responds to your heart. I encourage you just to step out and come.